Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead. I'm your Bible teacher and pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, and we're continuing in our study of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ as He is now coming back to this earth to unleash the great tribulation, rapture the church from this earth, and begin the greatest war that has ever been on this earth. Up till now, the Second World War has been the greatest war on this earth. And if you were with us in our last session, you were seeing that the Lord Jesus was opening the first seal of a seven-sealed scroll. And the seals were placed on the edge of the scroll so that when the first one was open, the scroll was unrolled, say about 8 to 12 inches, and then writing was on both sides, and then there was another seal about 8 to 10 inches into the unrolling of the scroll. That was then open, and so on. So we saw the first one open. It was the unleashing of the first horse with a rider, on a white horse that had a Stephanos, an earned crown, not a diadem indicating deity. And we drew the comparison between this person representing the Antichrist and Adolf Hitler. And I closed in our last session talking about one author named Dusty Sklar, who'd pointed out that Hitler's suicide coincided with an occultic night called Walpurgis Night. And it was as if a spell had been finally broken with his death. And that individual, Adolf Hitler, had a mesmerizing effect on the people that he came in contact with. So will the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to sway millions and millions and millions of people. Joachim von Ribbentrop was his Secretary of State, Adolf Hitler's that is, and he made an infamous statement when he was in prison in Nuremberg waiting for his sentence to be hung. And here's his quote. He said, "Even with all I know, if in this cell Hitler shall come to me and say, 'Do this,' I would still do it." Now, that's just evidence for his occultic power. So the Antichrist is going to be Satan-controlled and Satan-energized, and he's going to set out to conquer the world. So the first seal demonstrates the beginning of this conquest. Now, he doesn't gain full control until 42 and a half months or the middle of the seven-year tribulation. This, then, the first seal, with the Antichrist leaving on this white horse, is the first horseman of the apocalypse. Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' And another horse came forth, a red horse. And as to him that sat thereon, it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they would slay one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Now, the second horse takes peace from the earth, and you can't miss the emphasis here. It's indicative of a greater amount of unrest on this planet than we've ever seen. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a war. It means there would be no peace here whatsoever. The constant competitive, prideful relationship among ambitious men and nations will have reached their climax. There will be no love. There will be only unrest and no peace. This speaks of internal strife, class wars, civil wars, the breaking of every established order on the earth. There will be no peace at all, in any part of the earth. All peace efforts of the past are going to be over as peace is completely taken off the earth. This is a whole lot worse than war. It's total anarchy. Worse, it's going to happen when the Antichrist is spoken and of and promised peace and security. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 and 3, the text reads, "For yourselves know how perfectly that in the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So in other words, no segment of the world can avoid this. We must believe that this is going to happen, and you have to tell others. If you find that you can't tell others about this so they have an opportunity to avoid this, ask yourself if you really believe it or not. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what Jesus has said? Do you believe that Jesus is exactly who he said he is? He's a historical figure. We're not making this up to scare you. We're telling you what the Bible says to warn you. If you don't really believe this, ask yourself why. Perhaps I haven't taught you properly and conveyed these things to you accurately. There's only one interpretation of Scripture. God has spoken. He didn't speak with multiple meanings, with different theologies or denominational teachings that may imply. Some believe that there's just many good opinions about these things. That is simply not true. Believing that will cause you to avoid sharing these events with others. Satan has then achieved his goal of keeping many out of the kingdom. That's what he wants to do. But belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to avoid these events that are coming on the earth. Let me say that again. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to avoid these events that are coming on the earth. I want to read from you from Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 37. "But take heed," says the Lord Jesus, "to yourself, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare." Now, the surfeiting in the old King James is just excess. "For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of this earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple, and every night he went out and lodged in the mount that is called Olivet. So what Christ is saying here, that the only way to avoid these things is to be off the earth. And the only way to be off the earth is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, and the rapture described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will take you from the earth before the great tribulation. Moving on with the book of Revelation, the text says in chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. And I saw and behold a black horse, and he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a shilling, and three measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil and the wine heard thou not." Now this is representative of famine that's coming in the aftermath of war. What soldiers do not eat is destroyed in warfare. The civilians suffer much during war. The sign of the black horse is indicative of famine. I'm going to read to you from Lamentations 4:4. Now, the prophet Jeremiah wrote this after the Babylonians had sacked Jerusalem in 586 B.C. Here's what he's saying. "The tongue of the suckling child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young child asks bread, and no man breaketh it unto him." What is worse than a measure, a day's wages, is only enough for one meal for one person. Now, rationing is not going to provide enough. It's not going to provide enough food to meet the demand. To eat bread by weight is a Jewish expression that indicates food is scarce. We see it in Leviticus 25 and Ezekiel 4 and other spots. The global rationing and the controls that are going to be exercised by the Antichrist will control the economy. But the Lord is actually bringing this about because he's allowing the Antichrist to do these things. Now, when a totalitarian regime wants to control the economy, they control the population. They begin by controlling the economy. They drive the economy into despair. And they force people on welfare that comes from the government, and then they control everybody. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." And I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and he that sat upon him, his name was Death, and Hades followed him. And there was given unto them authority over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with death, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, the Greek word for pale here is chloros. And that's the word from what we get. We get chlorine. It means a pale color of a light green or yellowish in nature. The Hebrew equivalent word in the Old Testament means the color of leprosy. It just signifies disease. And this is also the inevitable outcome of war, is that disease follows war. John, the apostle, saw this disease going out into the earth. It was coupled with the instruments of war, followed by hunger, death, and wild beasts turning away from their natural fear of man and attacking the people. Further, the rats and the lice are going to accelerate it at an unprecedented growth rate. Let's look at Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth." Genesis 9:2, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, which into your hand they are delivered." Now, God gave these beasts to man to manage, to use, and he put a fear into those beasts of man. But remember now, God is taking peace from the earth, and that is all peace. I can't emphasize this enough. All peace is being taken from this earth. When civilization crumbles, mankind's defenses against disease crumbles as well. Because all sanitary measures, like safeguards like drinking water and the spread of disease like cholera, typhoid, and dysentery, they just disappear. So you can allow the disease to spread like wildfire. This doesn't even include the biological warfare that is inevitable in our modern times. You know, the number of World War casualties, both military and civilian, was over 40 million. 20 million deaths and 21 million or so wounded. And that included about 9.7 military deaths and about 10 million civilian deaths. Most civilian deaths during World War I were related to famine and disease. The Entente powers, also known as the Allies, they lost more than 5 million soldiers. And the Central powers lost about 28 million. So the total estimated human loss of life caused by World War II was roughly 72 million people. The civilian total was around 47 million, including 20 million deaths due to war-related famine and disease. So the military toll, being about 25 million, it included the deaths of about 5 million prisoners of war in captivity. The Allies lost about 61 million people, and the Axis lost 11 million. These numbers are phenomenal, people, phenomenal, and it's nothing compared to the war that's coming. the world population is the total number of humans on the earth at any given time. And just roughly going back about 5 years or so, in 2007, the world population was about 6.6 billion. Now, the text that we just read said one-fourth of the world's population is going to succumb to the first of the tribulations, wars, disasters, famine, disease, and animal. That's about 1.65 billion. And the tribulation is just starting in these verses. Tell others. It's the only way out is to tell others. Tell them that you believe that Jesus of Nazareth died, rose again from the dead, and tell others. These things are factual events. They are not some sort of a myth or a fairy tale. These things actually happened, provable evidence, eyewitness accounts. The only way off this earth, the only way out, is to be what we call in Christ. I'm going to go back to the text in Revelation now. The Lord Jesus is going to open the fifth seal, Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Oh, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, these people are the martyrs that are happening during the first half of the tribulation. Now, the tribulation has martyrs in the early moments of its seven-year duration. It's not the church, since it's already in heaven. So this group is not those saints. These saints came to be believers during the tribulation because of the preaching that we will see of 144,000 anointed Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. This is going to be explained in chapter 7, so we'll look at that when we get there. Now, any believer who was persecuted to death prior to the Great Tribulation went up in the rapture, and that's what 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. So clearly, the martyrs of the tribulation who became believers through the preaching of the 144,000 Jews are under the throne or the altar of God in heaven, requesting justice. The persecuting is being done by the false prophet, as we're going to see in Revelation 17, namely ecclesiastical Babylon. Now, you know, if a person heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on this side of heaven, there's no way that they will be in heaven with us. They just won't get another chance after the rapture. And now they don't get another chance after they die. If they reject the gospel and they've heard a clear presentation of it, the onus is on them to suffer for what it is that they have done. They've rejected the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to read from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And the text says, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the martyrs of the tribulation period didn't hear the gospel prior to the start of the Great Tribulation. They heard it through the preaching of these 144,000 Jews who God anointed to bring the gospel to the world in his final sweeping evangelical missionary movement, the biggest one in all human history. They who hear the gospel and convert during the tribulation are going to be killed for their faith. They'll be hunted down and murdered. They will not take the seal of the Antichrist on their right hand or forehead to protect them on this earth. Their belief in Christ will protect them for eternity. They may lose their lives, but their eternal life is assured. And we will be talking about this seal that the Antichrist is going to force everybody to take in subsequent chapters. So, future events of the Great Tribulation cast a shadow before themselves. So the events of the Tribulation are happening today to a lesser extent. Disease is present. Famine and war here are here too. But Christians are also persecuted in various places on parts of this earth. There have been pastors and churches that have been shot. We just should not be surprised at some of these attacks. Other areas around the world have experienced severe Christian persecution. It's just been slow coming to the United States. That may be accelerating. The following examples are from the Christian Persecution News, a journal group called Christian Persecution Info. It's at www.christianpersecution.info, and they've been reporting on these things for a long time. They've talked about 10 and 3 churches killed in Nigeria. They've talked about a Pakistani church leader kidnapped and Christians killed, Indonesian attacks on churches, China detaining hundreds of house church pastors and sweeping movements, hundreds of attacks on Indian missionaries, and Baptist pastors were faced with some severe persecution in Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan. There's been an increase in a crackdown on evangelical churches all around the world. Islamic groups are seizing churches. Sudan is putting pressure on Bible teachers and churches. China is detaining house leaders and pastors. We see one in Iran that's being persecuted right now. In India, in Indonesia, oh my goodness, in Egypt. Christ warned us that there would be such a worldview. In John 15:18, he said, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, because I've chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they had persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they had kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Now the persecutions are going to continue to escalate beyond our imagination on into the Great Tribulation. We have to expect some of this stuff is going to happen to us. It's especially true for those who stand up for Christ as pastors and teachers, their targets. We must not be naive in the sense that it can't happen to us, and the rapture will save us. It will save us from the Great Tribulation, but not necessarily from persecution prior to the rapture for embracing the truth. We must remember Christ's words regarding this issue. Here is what he said, as recorded in Matthew 10, verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Moving on in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth out her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, each series of judgments ends with convulsions of nature, and the sixth seal ends the first series of judgment with nature convulsing. Starts with an earthquake, then it's followed by a blackout of the sun and the moon, then it's followed by a meteor shower. The Bible speaks of five blackouts during the end times. And this is the second. The first one is prophesied by Joel in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, to occur sometime prior to the Great Tribulation. That's from Joel 2:31. And that's going to have the same characteristic as the blackout which happened while Christ was on the cross. Now, anarchy begins as men begin to flee from God's wrath rather than turn to him in faith. Some simply will not be saved. They will not listen. They're going to refuse no matter how strong the evidence is. The unbelievers clearly realize that this is the wrath of God being poured out. The wrath of God does not start with the sixth seal. It is being recognized as such by the unbelievers at this time. It's been going on. Dear people, it is so important that you listen to these verses, you listen to this Bible, you hear what I'm saying, and you formulate a belief on the Lord Jesus Christ, a genuine belief, not a phony belief or not something just to get you out of these things, a genuine, heartfelt belief that Jesus is exactly who he said he is, exactly who he's been characterized as in these eyewitness accounts, the Gospels, and the New Testament. We love you here at the Pentwater Bible Church, and I am especially blessed that I get to bring these messages to you. If you want a set of notes that are commensurate with what I'm speaking, please listen to our announcer and follow his instructions, and we will be happy to send those to you. God bless you, and we look forward to being with you in our next session.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. 2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.